Royal Way.
Yes, Royal Way.
Oh, my Lord.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense, or the week in this case.
Or the week. We're going to try to make the week make sense. Thanks, everybody, joining us. Oh, I'm Kai Rizdahl, by the way. Thanks for joining us on the pod today and the YouTube live stream for a little bit of Economics on Tap. We'll do the news fix. We'll play a little game at the end. I will also point out that I am enjoying an adult beverage for the first time in 34 days. It's Beechwood Brewing out of Huntington Beach, California. Can we see this? Yes.
Yeah.
It's their 28 Haze Later Hazy IPA. It's quite delicious. You know, I tried some, we talked about this the other day. I tried some alcohol-free beers. They were fine, except they tasted like cardboard. So, anyway.
That doesn't sound like fine, Kai.
Well, no. So here's what it was. It had a real, let me get all wine geeky on you here, he says to the wine person in the crowd. It had a really good nose, right? It smelled really good. That first taste as it hit your tongue was really nice. And then the finish was cardboard. It truly was. I was like, ugh, what is this? Yeah, true.
You know, I took a mocktail mixology class a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And one of the things that they said was a struggle when making non-alcoholic cocktails is getting the bite right, you know?
Yep.
And so, like, that's probably
totally right.
What you felt was missing. Yeah.
That's exactly the right phrase. That's exactly the right phrase. Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of people in the YouTube chat who successfully made it through Dry January. Congrats all. I did too. And it's funny. Yeah. I was out last night and I was at a comedy show that my friend was organizing and this dingy little dive bar place. And I ordered a glass of wine and I was like, I'm finally going to be done with Dry January. I'm going to have a glass of wine. They were completely out of wine in the entire bar. No red wine at all.
Wow.
They offered me a
really?
Rosé. And I was like, absolutely not.
I spit on your rosé. That's pretty funny. Okay. But you know what's
and
funny
I was
is
like,
I have that reaction to a lot of beers, too. So I know where you're coming from.
And so I was like, I guess I'll just stay dry another day. And so for me today, I am drinking a combo of non-alcoholic things. So the first one is this Avec Premium Carbonated Mixer in Yuzu and Lime. You're supposed to either mix it with a spirit or drink by itself. I am mixing it with not a spirit, but with this little packet of Craft Mix Strawberry Mule that's actually
Oh, my. Audience,
because
I apologize on behalf of everybody here at Make Me Smart for subjecting you to whatever Kimberly's about to do to herself.
Several years ago, I think it was the first year in the pandemic, the beloved David Brancaccio sent out these nice little holiday kits with little teeny tiny bottles of liquor and little mixers and things.
I didn't
since we
get
couldn't
one.
Have a holiday
Thank you,
party.
David.
It's because he doesn't
one.
Love you like he loves me.
And true.
So I mixed it together. And so I have a very pink drink that is tasty. It's actually tasty.
Your sister, by the way, gave you a yikes for whatever that beverage is that you're drinking. So I'm just saying.
I'm in the bureau. I didn't expect to be here for the show. I made it work with what I had, okay?
That's fair. That's fair. Lots of good drinks going on out there. Lots of good drinks.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
Here's my news rant, and I will just say this. I need everybody to calm the hell down about this balloon. It's making me crazy. It's making me absolutely nuts. So look, I have cable television on in the background in the office when I'm at the office, and it's wall to wall. And I just don't understand because, oh, my Lord, yes, fine. But there are Chinese satellites and Russian satellites and all kind of satellites up there that have as good, if not better, target differentiation and all of that. And I understand that it's a little weird to have this Chinese balloon floating over your head. But please, everybody, calm the hell down. You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if anybody – I think it's the beginning of Apollo 13, although I could be wrong. Maybe it's the right stuff. Might be the right stuff. That scene back in 1956 or 57 where Sputnik goes over and you see these smoke-filled rooms and a lot of old white guys in suits smoking and saying, oh my God, the skies are now red, and which is what the headlines were and all this jazz. That's exactly what it reminds me of, right? Just calm down. We're doing it to them. They do it to us. Is this interesting? Yes. Is it newsworthy? Yes. But everybody calm down. That's my news rant. That's all I got.
Someone with a lovely screen name, Toxic, wrote in the YouTube chat, how many people freaking out about the balloon also have TikTok installed on the phone next
to
them?
Well, Right.
There
my favorite thing, by the way, sorry, my favorite thing, and at least germane to the subject of the program that I host, was that the Treasury Department today came out and said it is monitoring the balloon situation. And the only thing I can think that the Treasury Department is monitoring the balloon situation is if it's filled with fake $100 bills and it will burst. And shower fake money down on America. I don't get it. Everybody needs to get in on this action, and I don't understand. You guys, everybody.
Maybe it's got the $1 trillion coin inside.
Maybe it's got the damn coin in it. That's right. Anyway, sorry. It's so. Everything's a crisis. Is this newsworthy? Yes. Is it an invasion of sovereignty? Yes. Is it No, it's not.
I'm loving all the jokes in the YouTube chat. Balloon subject to inflation.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Yes.
Thank you sometimes, G. All right.
Oh, my goodness. What do you have?
Mine's a little bit more serious, a lot more serious. So let me just tone it down. Today, the Associated Press has a story. Well, actually, no, this was on Wednesday. On Wednesday, attorneys general in 20 states sent letters of warning to CVS and Walgreens saying that they will face legal consequences if they sell abortion pills by mail in those 20 states. Now, you might remember a bit ago, the FDA basically eased the rules on abortion pills, saying that, you know, regular pharmacies could sell them. A lot of these pharmacies provide drugs by mail or will sell things online and mail them, you know, out of state if it's a over-the-counter or, you know, unrestricted medication. And so in theory, these big pharmacy chains that have said they will sell it could be selling it in these states, either mailing it into the state or just selling it, you know, on their own. And so the letter came from my beloved home state of Missouri, the Republican Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, and was co-signed by 19 other attorneys general, saying that it would violate federal law and abortion laws in many states if they sold those abortion pills, which is not technically accurate. And the Associated Press apparently reached out trying to get comment from, you know, Bailey and others in terms of what they would do if Walgreens and CVS actually sold these pills. And they did not specify what legal action they would take if the pharmacies began selling those abortion pills to Missourians by mail. The quote is, "I will enforce the laws as written," Bailey said in a statement in response to questions from the Associated Press. "That includes laws protecting the health of women and their unborn children. The FDA rules in direct violation of federal law, and the unelected bureaucrats at the FDA have no authority to change Missouri law either." It goes on and on and on. This gets back to something we talked about when the ruling first came down overturning Roe versus Wade, which gets to the Interstate Commerce Clause, right? Yep. And the federal government having the job of managing interstate commerce. Now, let's just say,
it's literally in the Constitution. Sorry, that's
just it is.
Right. Yeah.
So let's just say that Walgreens, CVS, or even let's just say Planned Parenthood decides to set up its own pharmacy in a state where abortion pills are perfectly legal and mail abortion pills via the U.S. Postal Service, right? It is a felony to interfere with the mail.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So now what's going to happen? Because that's right in the interstate commerce thing.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
It'll be very interesting, and you can see it working its way to the Supreme Court, right? I mean, it's a classic constitutional question.
Right, and as people are pointing out, pharmaceuticals by mail are not illegal. And so unless these states plan on opening up everyone's packages that are moving through the U.S. Postal Service, which is, again, very illegal, that's mm-hmm. going to be a very difficult thing to enforce. So that, you know, will be fascinating to see how that plays out. Yeah. Okay, my other story is much more uplifting, which is a story I saw in Psychology Today, which is appropriate as my psychologist sister is in the YouTube chat. The headline is The 10-Year Rule, Change Your Life Every Decade. The premise being that it's a good idea to kind of do a life reset every 10 years, that, you know, just because you spend maybe a decade getting really good at one thing rather than kind of like rest on your laurels and just like keep doing mm-hmm. it until you die, every 10 years is roughly a good idea to kind of reinvent yourself and try something completely new, which I think is a really cool idea and a nice way of thinking about it, because as my friends who are entering what supposedly is middle age and I have been thinking, you know, like the women in my family, God bless them, have longevity, which means all things working well, I hopefully will have, you know, more than half of my life left, which means there's a lot of more interesting things that could be done. And especially with medical, you know, advances and science getting better, like, you know, there are a lot of things that could still happen. Maybe we can still be astronauts, Kai. Maybe.
Well, you may be. I'm probably at or, you know, slightly beyond the cutoff. But look, no, so this is really interesting. And here's what it goes to. My wife and I were having this conversation and have been having this conversation for a number of years about next chapters mm-hmm. and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that she says is, well, I'd love to take XYZ course or become XYZ, but that'll take 5 years. And my response always is, hey, babe, look, in 5 years, you're going to be 5 years older, whether you've had this training or not, whether you've taken this course or not, whether you've explored this option or not. So do it now, you know?
Yeah. Sherilyn Alexander in the YouTube chat says that she's 74 and has had 6+ careers/businesses.
Oh, my gosh. There you go.
There you go. And I read all the time about these authors who don't even start their writing careers until they're in their like 50s or even mm-hmm. 60s and still mm-hmm. do really well because they've got like a lifetime of experience informing their writing, and it makes it really interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's a really good sort of just not a rule to live by, but just a thought. Just bear it in mind as you freaking move through life.
Ooh, LJ Payne went to college at 50. Good for you.
There you go.
I'm curious what you studied.
There you go.
All right. Now we are going to do something a little bit different. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to play a game. And so now we are going to play our very, very fun game called Half Full, Half Empty, where our very own Drew Jostad, who would have given us a longer break, I should say, will give us news topics and will tell you how we're feeling about them, whether that is more positive on the half full side or more negative on the half empty side of things. And you're welcome to play along in the chat. And Drew, let's take it away.
Are you half full or half empty on couponing on TikTok?
Oh, so this
like
is an interview I did this
videos of
week
couponing? With,
okay. No. So I spoke to a woman named Kayla Burke, and she is, by her own description, a full-time extreme couponer. So mm-hmm. she has 2 million followers on TikTok, where she does explanatory videos on how to basically get something for nothing. And it's totally interesting because it's not really simple at all. There's a minute and a half video that I saw as prep for the interview on how to get, it was, I don't know what, like 10 bucks off whatever product it is, right? But couponing, which honestly, I thought kind of was an older person's thing, is not. It's very real. It's very digital now. You do it on your phone. It's a click and a tap and a bang zoom and you got whatever you need for basically free or 2-for-1 or whatever. I'm half full. I just don't have the energy for it. I just don't have the energy for it because it takes concentration.
I'm half full on couponing, but I should say I used to be a little bit of an extreme couponer. Like, I'm that person who would, you know, get the coupon for the 2-for-1 and then, like, ring up with the 2-for-1 that gave you the extra credit, where if you bought two of these things and you get, like, $5 in credit, and then you do a separate transaction, then you use your other coupons on that transaction so that you can use the extra money. I did all of those things. And I would, you know, actually, I'm that person who would send, like, a screenshot or a photo to my friends, like, look, I just saved $42 at CVS, you know, and I would be very excited about it. Can I tell you how sad I was? I guess it was last year when the, oh gosh, people are asking if it's coupon or coupon. Ugh.
Well, God bless the YouTube chat, because I was going to ask you, but since the chat did, it's a regional dialect thing. That's what it is.
Wait, what did I say? Did I say?
You said coupon. You say coupon. I say coupon. It's
coupon,
a wash.
Coupon, coupon. Huh. Interesting.
You say
I never
potato,
even thought about it.
I say potato. You say tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
That's called, there you go.
But I was really sad because the Washington Post got rid of its coupon section. And now, if I want to do it, I have to do it on my phone. And that's really just like data harvesting. And I don't want these companies to know my shopping habits. And I know that that's why they do it. But now I just don't use coupons as much because I don't want to hand over all of my shopping data for a dollar off.
To quote Scott McNeely, the one-time CEO of Sun Microsystems, you have no privacy and get over it.
I know, but I want to keep the illusion.
I know. That's fair.
All right,
that's
what's next,
look,
Drew?
Get you going through the day. Drew, please, help.
All right, the last Boeing 747 was delivered this week. Are you half full or half empty on, I guess, the end of the era?
The queen of the skies. So let me date myself here. So when I was a kid, my father worked for a bunch of different airlines, and we would and he was born in Norway. So we would go back every now and then and visit his parents. And we would fly Space Available, because my dad worked for an airline. And my dad, we'd get to the airport, and my brother and I and my father, I mean, this was back in the, well, it was a long time ago, let's just say. And so my dad made me and my brother put on suit and a tie, and he had to put on suit and a tie. And so we would go up, and my dad would schmooze with the gate person or the airline people. And my dad was really good at this. And so probably 8 times out of 10 that we went, we would wind up in first class. And back then, there were almost always 747s going from New York to London and then up to Norway. And so we'd be in first class on a 747. And I have distinct memories of doing like my 8th grade homework in the upstairs lounge of a 747 in 1970, whatever the hell it was. And it was when
glamorous.
There were couches up there. Yeah, there were couches and a bar and like tables and stuff. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the 747, half full.
I think I ended up in first class for the first time in my life, like, last year.
Oh. Yeah.
No, but I mean, so in terms of the 747, I'm going to go half full. Like, I'm a little sad for the nostalgia factor, but planes are better and more efficient. And, you know, the thing that the 747 brought in was sort of access to airline travel for so many more people. And now, you know, we don't need to have 500 people on a plane to travel. And I think that just makes it nice. I love all the stories of people flying in the 747s. Barbara Monaghan says, I flew to Thailand on the top cabin, first class of a 747, but it was decked out in seats, not a lounge.
Yeah. It was something.
Yeah.
It was something.
Why is everybody so excited about the Hyperloop? One person is excited about the Hyperloop.
One person who's probably a troll.
Got it.
Probably a troll. All right.
Next
anyway,
up.
Drew.
All right. There seems to be a bit of a revival in use of old school cameras, both digital and film. Are you half full or half empty?
What's an old school digital camera?
Like old school, meaning 20 years ago.
So here's the way cameras are now, right? If I could just demonstrate, right? But there is a revival, and it's like the hipster thing, if I could apply hipsters to like young millennials or Gen Zers, of actually using old digital cameras like we used to use 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the thing, and it's a good look and whatever. I don't care? Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
I should have known that was coming. I'm going to go half full just because I love things vintage. Like, I have a typewriter in my house.
Oh, that's
fair. I mean,
do you? You and Tom Hanks.
He made an app for it, too. Like, it's an app.
Yes, I know. I had it for a while, and then yeah. I discovered it was useless. But, yeah, he did have an app, for sure.
It made a nice sound, though.
Yep.
So here's a little random story. One of my first jobs in public radio was as the assistant to NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore, who used to do commentaries and sort of weekend reviews for NPR. And as his assistant, one of my main jobs was to take his scripts that he would type on a typewriter, and we're talking like 2009, 2010 here. He would type them up on a typewriter, and then I would have to type it into the computer so that it would actually be in the system.
Oh, my God.
And
that's so funny.
I blew everyone's mind when I convinced Daniel Shore to type his scripts on a computer because everyone was convinced he would never do it. And I was able to convince him to do it because he was a nice man.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yes.
And you're a persuasive
woman.
There you go.
He used to sing me La Vie en Rose all the time. It was so sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what is next?
Paramount Global. Sorry. Announces they're merging the Showtime streaming service with Paramount Plus.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Are you half full or half empty?
I'm so sick and tired of this. I'm so sick and tired of the streaming wars. I'm so sick and tired of them. Okay.
I'm half full.
It's going to make prices go up, right? Are you? All right, go ahead. Why?
Because, like, there's too many. There's going to be consolidation, and we're going to get the streaming version of cable eventually. Let's just get to it. It's going to happen. Let's just start.
All right. Yes, what Kimberly said. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep.
All right.
That's a really good point. I'm so sick and tired of the streaming wars.
Last topic for the poll.
All right, last topic
for
the poll.
Good thing
Drew's paying attention.
Yes, everybody get ready to vote in the YouTube chat.
Are you half full or half empty on people responding to high egg prices by raising inflation chickens?
Oh, fascinating. All right. Let me just scroll back through the YouTube chat here for a second while everybody ponders this. Ryan Coleman, I pay $80 a month for YouTube TV for my parents already. So, Ryan, yo, man, stop.
Holy $80 cow. A month? Is that how much that is?
That's a lot. That is a lot. All right. Whoever's running the YouTube chat needs to zots this Italy person because he and or she is just trolling us. Inflated chickens, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the inflated chicken story is out of the New York Times, I think is the one we're talking about with Anna Swanson did it and Gina Smilek also about eggs and chickens and all that good stuff.
I mean, my uncle has been raising chickens since before. It was cool. Every time I go over there, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, do you want some eggs? And I'm like, again, I don't like eggs. Oh, no.
Really?
Don't like egg.
Eggs and cheese, right? Cheese is a no-no for you?
Eggs and cheese, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
breakfast is a
challenge.
Any other dairy you don't do that we should know about? Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, I'm mildly lactose intolerant. I don't have milk, but I do eat yogurt. There's that.
So what is, all right, wait, sorry. While we wait for the poll to complete, what is your morning beverage then?
Tea.
Just straight up? No milk, no nothing?
Black tea with sugar, and actually I put whole cloves into it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Quite tasty. Yes.
Interesting.
That is what I have.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's see.
Debbie Donovan points out that I do like, I like banana flavored candy, which is true. I do. That's true.
Everybody's
long
got
time
their
listener
thing.
There, boy.
Oh Nikki, what, why is All Nikki right. talking about eggs and squirrels? What?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay. So somebody said in the chat that I could use my uncle's eggs as something to barter for other items.
True.
And my sister followed up with eggs and squirrel because, yes, my uncle will sometimes occasionally send me home with squirrels that he has hunted because,
we have had that conversation.
Cook.
A squirrel in your freezer.
Yes. Yes. This is the joke. It's true, but it's also funny. All right, what is our vote?
I don't think it's any joke. All right. I don't even know. Somebody needs to Slack it to me or whatever, because I don't know how to do this bleeping poll.
Well, it looks
still.
Like,
all right. Here. Oh, wait. Here it is. Oh, wait. I had it. And then it went away. What the hell? All right. No, there it is. All right. Here we go. I got it. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Half empty on inflation chickens, 56%. Half full, 43%. The poll is complete with 197 votes. So, this was an article in the New York Times by Gina Smilek and Anna Swanson about egg inflation and how people are actually starting to raise chickens at home to counter the high cost of eggs. And there has been an increase, apparently, in the number of, much as we saw mid-pandemic, when people kind of started going back to work in the office and all those pets they adopted had been now given up for not being able to be home. People are abandoning their inflation chickens. Don't abandon your inflation chickens, people. Just don't.
Yeah, it's like everybody who abandoned the pets. That was super sad. I mean, I guess chickens are pets for people, but...
Yes.
Don't be that person.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we did it. There it is.
We got here. Okay.
I'm about to say, I think there's supposed to be music now. Okay, there it is.
There we go. Sorry, who's producing this? Where's Courtney Berks?
There's music.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we are done for today because clearly even without the booze, we get a little loopy on a Friday. Next week, we are going to be back with more news you can use, economics on tap, make me smiles, what do you want to know Wednesdays, all the things, but we cannot do it without you. So if you have a question that you want us to answer on the Wednesday show, a comment you want to just give in general, or questions or something like that, something you heard on today's episode and you have strong feelings about it, let us know. Mm-hmm. We're at 508-UBE-SMART. Also, you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
We're all about strong feels. If you guys got them, let us know. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. It's my first beer in 35 days, people. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty. Antonio Barreras is our intern. Everybody,
the team, probably sober behind our Friday game, is Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune,
Why do they have to be sober?
And Antoinette Brock.
Sorry.
Marissa Cabrera is our acting senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital. And thank you to everybody for following along. Have a wonderful weekend.
And tolerating us. Oh, my Lord.
Yes, tolerating us.